Get a clear vision of what you want to do in life? Or still confused and feeling left behind? Every week, we bring you an out-of-the-ordinary Hong Kong story to inspire you as you embark on your own journey. It's time to go off campus. Joining me, Alison Howe, this week is...
Cameroon, I'm not sure whether everybody is ready, but this is going to be one inspirational week. I've been looking forward to speak to this iconic personality for so long, and I'm so grateful to have her online right now. Without further ado, may I please have my guest introduce herself?
Hello from Congo. My name is Joyce Samutu Wong, and I'm a co-founder of the charity Newsight, serving in the Republic of Congo, Africa.
Wow, thank you so much for dialing in all the way from Congo. Before we even get to that part of it, could you please tell us a bit more about who you are and what you do right now?
So I'll take you right from the beginning.
Okay.
So I'm an only child born and raised in Hong Kong. So I grew up in a very controlled and comfortable world, which centered around me. And I love being spoiled. So I became a Christian in 1992. And in the year 2000, when I was about to graduate from medical school in the UK, God called me to be a missionary in Africa. So I wrote in my journal, 7 big fat reasons why I should never be a missionary. I explained to God, like, I would never survive in Africa. I like control, comfort, efficiency, convenience. I don't like risk. I don't like adventures. I love Japanese sashimi and air conditioning. I don't like camping, snakes, insects. You get the idea, right? So there's no way on earth that I would have the patience, resilience, or courage to survive in Africa. So I argued with God for a long time, but in the end, I wrote in my journal next to my 7 reasons why I should never be a missionary, the words, lose your life.
Wow.
I gave up controlling my life, and I decided to follow God's plan because God can be trusted. And that's how I said yes to God's call to Africa. And the very next day, I met this super good-looking man called Henri, who became my husband 4 years later. So together, our calling comes from the Gospel of Luke in the Bible, which says, heal the sick and tell them that God is with us. So it is in response to this call that we've been serving in Africa since 2006, first in a country called Gabon.
Your whole family is there now.
Yes, so it was in 2012 that we founded the charity Newsight and moved our family of 5 to the Republic of Congo, where I'm calling from today.
Oh my goodness. I feel your connection to Hong Kong, and I also can feel a lot of people are thinking in their heads, like, why?
Yeah. Well, basically, I don't know if you know that 9 out of 10 people with vision loss, their cause of vision loss is actually preventable or treatable.
Mm.
And in Congo, it's estimated there are about 480,000 people with vision loss, and the number is growing. And the problem is the majority do not have access to eye care and are literally suffering for nothing. So to us, we have already in our hands right now proven cost-effective interventions to relieve this unnecessary suffering. So in fact, the World Health Organization has said that restoring sight is the single most cost-effective health intervention to reduce poverty.
Ooh.
And a study by a company called PwC calculated that for every 1 American dollar invested in eye care, it produces $4 of economic gain. And of course, how can you and I put a price tag on being able to see? I mean, Alison, if you became blind, how much would you pay see again? So sight really is priceless. And what's even more amazing is that when sight is restored, lives are transformed literally, instantly, completely, not just for the patients, but for their families and the whole community. And it is for this unnecessary suffering in Africa that we decided to come here.
And now, let's talk about your song choices. What songs do we have from your playlist?
Okay, so there is a song called Come Back Kid by an artist called Mandisa. I love this song because some of the lyrics really resonated for my lowest times when I want to give up. people always ask me, like, do you feel like, ever feel like giving up? There was a time when I felt like giving up every single day. But I know this song really encouraged me that God's got my back. And every time I say I can't, I cannot, God says that I can, and I will stand, and that I will keep going.
Got a clear vision of what you want to do in life? Or still confused and feeling left behind? Every week, we bring you an out-of-the-ordinary Hong Kong story to inspire you as you embark on your own journey. It's time to go off campus. Joining me, Alison Howe, this week is...
Hello from Congo. My name is Joyce Samutu Wong, and I'm a co-founder of the charity Newsite, serving in the Republic of Congo, Africa.
Now, we got to talk about your profession and how you've been saving lives and changing families, basically, with your incredible work. Let's talk a little bit deeper into the whole vision misconception, right?
Uh-huh.
We in Hong Kong were so lucky that all we talk about is too much screen time, bad for your eyes. There must be a lot of misconceptions about how we do eye care properly.
Oh my goodness. If you would allow me, I would really like to focus on one of the misconceptions about eyes in here, because it's in Congo, which is very dear to my heart. Sometimes people ask us, what's the hardest thing about being in Congo? And I'll say the hardest thing is when patients come to our eye center and it's too late. They've come too late and we're no longer able to help them. I'm regularly horrified by how long some patients waited before seeking help, even when the injury and symptoms were very severe. And sometimes patients may cite financial and distance barriers, but sadly, far too often, they do not appreciate the urgency or importance of seeking timely medical help. And some may have tried local unregulated pharmacies or other healthcare providers first.
Yeah.
And many may have tried traditional healers, but they wouldn't tell us, but we know they do, because the World Health Organization tells us that 80% of the population in Africa uses traditional medicine. So we have witnessed several catastrophic consequences, for example, irreversible blindness or enucleation, which basically means literally having to take your eyeball out. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
And for example, there was like a man who suffered injury to one eye. A traditional healer treated both eyes and he became blind in both.
Balling.
So health and education really need each other. Misconceptions are, we can only get rid of it through education. That is the only way. So health and education must go in hand in hand. And that is why we are working hard to provide health education through our other side of the work, which is a national children's magazine, a community and school outreach programs reaching over 30 schools so that more patients and families can receive timely management.
Wow. Let's talk about the cases that you have been dealing with in Congo. What, according to your observation, would be the most common cause for them to come and seek your help? Could it be something with accidents? Could it be something to do with the nature environment that they're in?
Yeah. I would say the bulk of our work would fall into the following categories. So as you mentioned, a trauma and accident is a huge one, because a lot of people work without protection to their eyes in the forest, they're chopping wood. A lot of the children, as young as 3 years old, they would walk around with what we call machetes, which are like these big knives, basically. Okay, they use it to, and they
nice,
carry
yeah.
around with them, because you might see snakes, you know, and you chop wood, you use it for everything. But as you can imagine, accidents happen if you're walking around with a big machete, okay? Or they might be using BB guns to, you know, hunt. So trauma is a big thing. And like I said, a lot of them come when it's too late. Another one would be infection. It's not easy when you don't have running water in your house and you have to walk for miles. So, you know, you try to conserve water and you might not, you know, wash your hands. And sanitation is always a problem because there's not real proper plumbing. They're just external holes, okay? So hygiene is one of the issues that we have to deal with. And again, through because of that, we want to work towards the health education through our magazines and school programs. But another big one, which causes people to be blind in our part of the world, is cataract, which is when the lens of the eye is become opaque, so you can't see through. So we've had patients who've been blind, you know, 15, 20 years, and they had no idea that they could actually see again through a one-off simple cataract surgery. And those are the people that we really want to reach, because up until we're here, there's not really been any accessible eye care in this part of the country. And a lot of them do not even know they can see again. So we do things like cataract surgery. And of course, there's all the other illnesses like diabetes, hypertension. I get very excited about it because I you know, it's heartbreaking to see all these problems, but they're not rocket science. They're not like interventions that we're yet to, you know, discover, okay? They are, we have it in our hands. And there's so much more we can do.
Yeah, and you have the cure. You can help them.
Yeah, it's really humbling to be able to help someone see. I mean, I've been here for so many years, like, and every time it just touches me. To when we're like the day after surgery and we remove their iPad and they start seeing, and you know, and then see, you know, especially for a child, when a child sees like some of them for the first time in their lives, and I, you know, as a mom, I always look at the mom, and it's indescribable. It's very, very humbling. I can't believe I get to do this.
Fantastic. Let's come to your second song choice for us tonight.
So this song is called My Testimony by Elevation Worship. This song is very meaningful to us because through the many years we've been here, we've faced many challenges, and there were times when even our lives were threatened. And one time my husband was actually kidnapped into the forest, but God, as he has always done, really did a miraculous act and rescued him. And so when he came back and he was finally safe, you know, we, of course, we were like, this is dangerous, we gotta get out of here. But then that song says, if I'm not dead, then God's not done. And then we realized that it's precisely because it's difficult and hard here that people here need us. And as long as we're not dead, then God's not done. Sometimes people say, I'm done. I'm like, I'm not done because I'm not dead. So we will keep going. So this song really means a lot to us.